been looking forward to this morning for some time. Back in May, we had Evangelist David Smith with us and had a great time that evening. And when we were here, and I was talking with Brother Smith's son Spencer, who has agreed to be with us, one of the other gentlemen that were there, they mentioned that he is an evangelist, and they were like, "Man, he's just great. Wherever he goes, just God moves." And I just felt this nudge in my spirit, and I said, "Would you come preach for us? I know your dad was already here," and he said, "I'd be honored." And so we got it on the calendar that night, and we have been looking forward to today since that time. He's just a young evangelist, but he might be young in age, but he's been in ministry for, 12 years, going on 13 years. He started when he was 12, so legitimately, So we're excited about having him this morning, and I feel like there's faith in the house, and I know he is a young man, but he is a man of great faith, and I believe today God can touch you. He can fill you with the Holy Ghost. You can be baptized in the name of Jesus. You can get your miracle today in the house. Amen. Can we just lift up the name of the Lord one more time as he comes this morning? Brother Smith.
Would you clap your hands unto the Lord, please? Thank you. Father, I love you. Father, I magnify and I worship your name today, Jesus. For you are wonderful today, Jesus. You are wonderful today, Father. Well, here we are, folks. We've made it. I try to say this everywhere that I go. You people are the reason why we're here. You're the apple of God's eye. Without you, we wouldn't be here. When we get to heaven, Jesus is going to be looking at y'all. I love you so much. Thank you for believing in me. Thank you for having me. I give honor to your pastor, his beautiful family. Thank y'all for having me. It's nice to be believed in. Sometimes I get to thinking, man, Jesus has got a rough job because a lot of people don't believe in him. So when I hear you talking about that feller you was talking about, I said, man, I want to meet him. That guy started when he was 12. I'd like to meet that feller. Just kind of puts you in the mindset of what God feels like sometime. So thank you. I'm from Louisiana. I'm redneck. So if y'all like to have fun, I'm your man. If you like the Bible, hopefully I'm your man. If I don't have anything cool to say, y'all just wait till next week. They'll have plenty to say about you, I imagine. So if you don't remember anything I say, it's all right. Next week, you got it coming up. I do like to have a good time, but I also love the word of the Lord. It means so much to me. It's my passion. It's my heartbeat. So if you don't mind, let's get into it. If you would grab your Bibles, if you would, Acts 8, and we'll start in verse 13, if that's all right. And while you're getting there, I'll just kind of give you a little bit of where I'm reading from so I don't have to read for so long. I know you've been standing a while, and I thank you for that. This passage of scripture is Philip the evangelist begins to do what he's called to do, and his ministry begins with him going to a certain place in a certain village with a man named Simon. And as church folk know, and if you don't know, then Simon was Simon the sorcerer, and he bewitched the people a lot, and he had the grips on their hearts and on their minds because he dealt with them in sorceries, and he would trick them, and he would look as some great one. So this portion of Scripture, this is where we start, and Philip moves into this village where Simon has bewitched these people and made them believe that he was some great one, but only by sorcery. Philip comes with the truth, with the word of the Lord. He brings the message, the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he died and rose for us. That message is so powerful because it means more than just coming to church in a religious activity or a church work, or it means more than this building. It means more than, what are you? Are you Baptist? Are you Methodist? Are you Presbyterian? Are you Pentecostal? Are you Apostolic? Are you Catholic? The gospel of Jesus Christ extends so much further than a religion could ever carry you. If you live certainly only for God through a religion, religion will fail you. We can preach and act like Pentecost is this, the once all be all, but I want to tell you something, that knowing the man Jesus Christ means more to me than knowing that I'm a Pentecostal. Because when I know him, holiness is easy. For be ye holy, for I am holy. Holiness becomes easy when I know him. Loving people is easy when I know him. For a man that knoweth not God, then it's simple. He can't love people because he doesn't know God, because God is love. Know Jesus. All that being said, the gospel that Philip brings to them brings us to our verse of Scripture. Acts 8 and 13 says, then Simon himself believed. Everybody say believed. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Verse 14, now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Now, this is interesting. I heard it preached like this. Simon was a part of the they that became the them. Simon was baptized with the people that were baptized. And then the Bible says that it goes on that when the apostles came, they prayed for them that they may receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, and them received the gift of the Holy Ghost. What this shows to me is that Simon was baptized and followed Philip's ministry because of the signs and the wonders which he was seeing. But what this scripture proves to me that is that it's not enough to just be baptized. There's more to it. Verse 15, who when they were come down prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now in this moment was the realization of Simon's life. Verse 17, then laid they their hands on them and they received the gift of the Holy Ghost. Verse 18, and when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Verse 21, thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Verse 22, repent therefore of this wickedness and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. Verse 23, our last verse of Scripture. I thank you for standing for so long. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and the bond of iniquity. Everybody say bond of iniquity. Verse 23, one more time. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and the bond of iniquity. I'm going to hold my title or the title of the message just for a little while, if that's all right. But if you would close your Bibles and just lift your hands and talk to the Lord with me for just a moment. Father, I magnify your beautiful name today, Jesus. Thank you for loving me when I did not deserve it, Jesus. I'm asking you to anoint the lips of your feeble servant. I'm asking you to melt our hearts together in your beautiful, your powerful, and your wonderful name. Help my mind to be clear, to be sharp in your word. And Father, I love you. And would you confirm your word with signs following? In your mighty name, I pray. Jesus, I love you so much, Jesus. I love you so much. Would you clap your hands as you're seated? Thank you. Lord bless you.
All right, here we go, folks.
If you're expecting me to get super excited, I don't know if I will, but I do believe I have a word from the Lord. The Lord dealt with me about this topic through kind of a funny instance, I guess. Not funny, but I heard a story one time. It was written in a book a little while ago, but I felt the Lord deal with me about using it to preach the principle of this message. So if you would, humor me. There was a store that was massive. It held anything that you could imagine. It had anything you could ask for. It had anything that you could have, but there was always a price. There was always something that you had to pay to go into the store, and the store was owned by an old man. And the old man, full of wisdom and full of years, but the store was big enough to house anything you could ask for. But the old man had a special product that he would only tell to certain people. And a young man came into the store one day with an eager zeal in his heart that he heard that this store could house anything he could ever ask for. It had anything that he could ever want. And he walked up to the old man, and the old man, with a glimmer in his eye, just with a smirk on his face, said, "Son, what would you like today?" The young boy said, "I've heard of this thing out in the world that somebody told me that it was the greatest thing that you could ever purchase and that the greatest thing that you could ever have." And the old man, with the slight smirk and the glimmer in his eye, had a sense of hope in his heart that the young boy had found what he had on the back shelf that nobody ever asked for. And the young boy said, "Well, I don't quite know the name of it, but it's a three-letter word." And the old man, with just a spark, knew that the boy had found what he had on the back shelf. The young boy, before he could utter the words, the old man said, "Now, son, before you ask, what you're going to purchase today comes at a cost." And the young boy stood back and said, "What do you mean, sir?" He said, "Well, what you're fixing to ask for, when you purchase it, takes hold on your life and it changes you." He said, "Well, what do you mean?" The old man said, "Well, I can see you're not quite understanding. What I mean is that what you buy today has a side effect." He said, "Well, what's the side effect, sir?" He said, "The side effect is that when you purchase this product, it's going to shape your life. It's going to change how you walk, how you talk, how you operate, how you move, how you look to people, how you talk." The young boy said, "Sir, do you really know what I'm fixing to ask for?" And the old man said, "I don't know. Why don't you tell me?" He said, "Sir, I heard that you sold God and that I could receive God." He said, "Yes, you can. Would you like me to get it from the back?" And the young boy said, "Well, hang on just a minute. I would like to buy $3 worth of God, please. Not enough to explode my soul or disturb my sleep, but just enough to equal a cup of warm milk or a nap in the summer time of my youth. I don't want enough to challenge me and make me different. I want ecstasy, not transformation. I want the warmth of the womb without a new birth. I want a pound of the eternal God in a paper sack. I just want $3 worth of God, please." The story, first humorous because the young boy says, "I just want $3 worth, especially after everything you told me," begins to take shape in that young man's heart because he begins to explain he just wants enough to graze by, but he doesn't want enough to change. Today, we go back to the scripture of Simon the sorcerer. He lived a life of being the high man on the totem pole, being the best person in the group, being the most powerful person in the community. But when it showed up just in time that God showed up, Simon said, "Wait, so I'm not the big kahuna no more. Well, let me purchase that, but I just want $3 worth." Today I preach to you the simple topic, if you must remember something, is $3 worth, please. Simon was not interested in changing the way in which he lived. He just wanted all the power. But he wanted none of the change. I just want $3 worth, please. To be so close to an eternal promise, to be changed for a lifetime, to change your family, your community, your lifestyle. But I just want $3 worth, please. Wait a minute, Spencer. So you're saying that what we preach, the unchangeable message of God, if I get baptized in Jesus' name and I receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, is that not it? No. That's simple if you just want $3 worth, Pastor. I just want the Holy Ghost. I just want to get baptized in Jesus' name, but I just want $3 worth. Don't challenge what I do or how I live. I just want $3 worth. I heard it preached like this when Jesus called Lazarus forth out of the grave. Lazarus come forth and said he came out bound hand and foot with a napkin over his face. What that means is Lazarus was in grave clothes. When you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost and you're baptized in Jesus' name, you are born of the water in baptism. You were born of the Spirit with the infilling of the Holy Ghost. I know the Holy Ghost sounds weird. It ain't nothing scary. It ain't nothing freaky. I'm a redneck and I got it. It ain't, okay? It ain't, it's nothing. It's just Jesus no longer walking on the outside. He's going to walk on the inside. You say, how do I know I have it? You begin to speak in tongues. You speak in a language you don't understand. Well, that's weird. I don't know about that, Spencer. Well, hang on just a minute. You know why you cry sometimes when you go to church or you go to a funeral? Because God squeezes your heart and water comes out your eyes. So when you see the gift of the Holy Ghost, God fills your heart. And the evidence of it is when your heart gets full of the Holy Ghost, it comes out your mouth as a witness that you've got it. Speaking in tongues is not the Holy Ghost. Speaking in tongues is a witness of the Holy Ghost on the inside of you. So when that happens, that's all it is. It's God filling your heart to the point that it comes out of your mouth. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Why do I need the Holy Ghost, Spencer? Because when you receive the Holy Ghost, the Bible says you receive power. You're tired of the enemy messing with you and your family and messing with your job and messing with your home and messing with everything in your life and confusing you and making you scared and stealing your peace and robbing you of your comfort? You need the Holy Ghost. Now, Simon received this beautiful gift and baptized in Jesus' name, but he was only interested in $3 worth. And the problem with the world today is that all the world wants is $3 worth of God because they don't want something that's going to challenge their convenient Christianity. Well, preacher, if you can't preach that in 15 seconds, I can get on Instagram and find something quicker than that. I can get on Facebook and find me. I mean, Jimmy Swaggart just died, but brother, he's got everything archived. I can listen to him all I want to. I just want $3 worth of God, preacher. Simon just, he couldn't, it was revealed in his heart that all he wanted was $3 worth. Peter said, you're in the bond. You're in the gall of bitterness and the bond of iniquity. Spencer, you're saying somebody can be baptized in Jesus' name and have the Holy Ghost and be in the bond of iniquity? They can. Because God wants to save everybody. He gives everybody a chance. I'm going to give you a chance to be saved, but you've got to choose to walk right. The conversion of a person is the miracle of a moment, but the saving of a saint is a work of a lifetime. When Lazarus came forth, Jesus did his job. He told them, loose him and let him go. Jesus told the people that were standing around to get his grave clothes off. If I was wearing grave clothes and sat down next to y'all, I'd look funny. But if I had the Holy Ghost and baptized, but I had my grave clothes on, everybody just thinks, well, they've got the Holy Ghost and they're baptized, they must be all right. But for some reason, I got a sheet on. and I look a little weird, and you can't understand me just right, and I can't get up and dance and shout like everybody else, that's because it's our job, the church's job, to get the grave clothes off of them. Let me show you how to walk. You want more than $3 worth. Let me show you what I've got. If you could put up on the screen Romans 8:38, please. This is what the Lord began to show me. God is not interested in people that want $3 worth of God. The first four words of this scripture shows you what God's interested in. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come. Next verse, please. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. If you'd go back to 38 for me, please. The most powerful thing that you can understand when you have an attitude of a $3 worth of God. Now remember, I'm not condemning you for having the attitude, because it's conditioned in us in our world today that $3 worth's enough. The power of persuasion is so powerful. God's looking for people today that are persuaded. David was persuaded that when he stepped on that battlefield, that God would be there with him. He raised his hand in the middle of his brothers and said, "Is there not a cause that we fight today? Do we not serve the armies of the living God? Why are we not out there fighting?" It's because his brethren were not persuaded like David was. Paul said it like this, Romans 4:21. I told you I was going to throw scriptures. I'm sorry. I should have gave them to you, but here we are. Romans 4:21. Paul says it like this, like about Abraham. And being what? Fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. Next verse, please. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now, Abraham lived in a time of the Old Testament. The Holy Ghost was not yet fallen because Jesus Christ was not crucified, rose again, and gone. The Comforter did not come back. Abraham was not baptized in Jesus' name. But Abraham was persuaded. Abraham was persuaded that these signs did not point towards my miracle happening, but God said he was going to do it. And he's going to do it because he was persuaded. A $3 worth of God attitude is robbing you of your miracle. It's robbing you of your peace of mind. It's robbing you of your family. It's robbing you of any and everything you want to accomplish in your life because you're not persuaded. To be totally convinced that no matter the evidence, God's going to do it. I am persuaded that it's going to happen. The woman with the issue of blood, Mark 5:25, you don't have to put it up there. If you want to read it, you can. Mark 5:25, she said, "If I may touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole." That word whole does not mean necessarily healed. That word whole there in the scripture means saved. The woman had been 12 years with an issue of blood. She learned how to be comfortable with being sick. Jesus, I don't necessarily need you to heal me of my infirmity. I want you to save me. She was persuaded that if I can just touch his garment, he'll save me. When virtue flowed out of Jesus, he said, "Somebody touch me." The woman comes, tells him all. And then he says these words, "Go thy way and be whole of thy plague." He was letting her know, you were persuaded that just simply touching my clothes would save you? Absolutely. She didn't have to look at Jesus. She didn't have to say nothing to him. She didn't have to explain to the apostles and the disciples that I need a miracle. She didn't have to say, please help me. She didn't have to do this or do that. She was persuaded that if she would just touch his clothes, persuaded. Is there anybody in here struggling with being persuaded? You see that right there? You know what that's called? Honesty. That's what God is after. You may be the only one that lifted your hands, but you're the only one that was probably brave enough to lift your hand because you're honest. And that's not saying anybody in here is not honest. Y'all know how embarrassing it is to lift your hand? You ever been at school? Anybody know the right answer, 2 + 2? You know it's 4, but I ain't lifting my hand. Joke's on you, teach. I may know the answer, but I'll happily look like an idiot. Everybody likes to get on Thomas because doubting Thomas. Let me ask you something. You follow a man around for 3 years that does all the miracles in the world, means everything to you. They kill him. Then somebody has the gall to come up and say, you go through the grief of him dying. And then somebody says, he's living again. And everybody wants to get on Thomas's case because he said, I just want to see his nail-scarred hands and put my hand in his side because I want to make sure you people aren't lying on Jesus. Because that man never lied to me. To sit in a house and to hear of miracles, to hear of signs, to hear of wonders, to hear about $3 worth, and you're sitting in a seat of having $3 worth of God, and you said, I don't know how to be persuaded, Pastor. Somebody just show me. To have that attitude, you're not wrong. That's a hunger to be persuaded. Somebody persuade me. Persuasion means to convince. To be convinced, there's got to be something convincing. What could be more convincing than a man named Jesus Christ, born from a virgin, to walk this earth blameless, to be lied on, to be beaten, to be broken, to be embarrassed, to hang on a cross, dying, suffering for no reason? Pilate said, there's no wrong in this man. I've washed my hands, and if you want to kill him, do it, but I'm not. Kill him because Jesus didn't meet my standard of a Messiah. The Jews murdered him because in their minds, through the law of Moses, he just doesn't look quite like Jesus should look. How many times in this world has Jesus been brought up and we as people have said, that can't be Jesus because he doesn't meet my standard? Have you ever thought that maybe we should meet his? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Can anything good come out of me going to the altar? That young fella, he really ain't preaching it like I think he ought to be preaching, so God couldn't heal me, surely. Pastor just is not teaching real good on Wednesdays, or I'm just not going to go because it doesn't meet my standard. You're sitting in the seat of a Jew that killed Jesus. It just doesn't quite meet my standard of a healing. It just doesn't meet my standard of being persuaded. I'm just going to sit in my seat. I just want $3 worth. If I can just get enough to feel good enough, maybe if the trump blows, maybe I'll make it. I might make it. Maybe. If you do me a favor, if you just bow your head and close your eyes, I don't want anybody to be embarrassed. I don't want anybody to feel like they can't lift their hands. You serve a speaking God. Asking him what you have need of is the only way he can fulfill that need. But if you're in the house today and you have a pain or you have a sickness or you have a disease and you want God to take care of that for you today, would you lift your hands today? Thank you. You can put your hands down. Thank you. If you're in the house today and you've never received the gift of the Holy Ghost and you said, you know what? Today is a day that I want to make a step towards God and I want to let Him no longer walk on the outside but walk on the inside. And you've never received the gift of the Holy Ghost before, but today you would like to receive that beautiful gift. Would you lift your hands? Thank you. You can put your hands down. If you're in the house today and you said, you know, I'm just struggling with being persuaded. I just want Jesus to help me today. Would you lift your hand? Thank you. You can put your hands down. Thank you. Hands were lifted today in every section. Would you? You can open your eyes. Got to be careful. Sometimes people get sleepy. Hands were lifted in every section. I know it's going to sound just like my dad, but it's the truth. It's hilarious that some people just, and it's okay. It's human nature. Have a hard time believing. Now, I want y'all to realize how weird this sounds. It's hard for us as humans to realize how much we need God. We think, well, I need God, and I'm just going to look like the idiot today at church. I'm not going to the altar because everybody's going to wonder what's wrong with me. When just so happens that person you're worried about sitting next to you needs God just as much as you do. I ain't never seen it happen in the Bible when Jesus would heal somebody that they didn't move first. They came to Him. Why? Because Jesus is a gentleman and He's not going to kick your door down to give you a miracle. Well, I'm just not moving. Bless God. If He don't heal me, then I'll go to hell just like this. That's humorous, but it's true. You know, I've been asking God for so long to do this, and if He doesn't do it, well, He'll just have to watch me burn. God's just, okay. When the rich young ruler, he came up to Jesus, and I want to show you one of the greatest testaments of love that Jesus ever showed in the New Testament. The young rich, he came up. God, what do I have to do to inherit the kingdom? What do I need to do to follow You? What? Tell me. Gives him the commandments. Father, I've done all that from my youth. I've done all those things. Jesus said, that's good. I want you to go sell all that you have, pick up your cross, follow me. Oh, I can't do that. He turned and walked away. The greatest display of love is that Jesus never said a word to him. You said, what do you mean? Because Jesus is not going to prostitute His gospel to meet your little needs so you can be saved. God will stay true to who He is through the thick, through the thin, through everything. He will never change. People take that as a negative, but that's such a positive. Can you imagine serving somebody that never changes? Just tell me what I need to do, Lord, and I'll do it. Okay, here's what you need to do. I can't do that. And we think that God's going to go, I knew you couldn't, buddy. Let me go ahead and change the rules for you. That's not how it works. But today in the house, just this month, y'all, last week, to God be the glory, it's nothing to do with me. I can't heal people. If I could, I wouldn't be here. I'd be on the street corner, $20 a pop, healing everybody I could find. 17 people were healed just last week here in Ohio. Not over the seas, here. Man came up, I've got nerve pain in my back. It shoots all the way down my leg. We prayed God instantly healed him. Man came up, I'm partially deaf in my ear. We begin to pray, me and a young boy there in the church, we begin to pray. He said, it's like there's not a seashell over my ear anymore. Prayed for a woman in Cleveland. She's sitting on the front pew. I said, ma'am, excuse me, what would you like the Lord to do for her? She's sitting down and I'm wondering, what's wrong with you? Get up. I mean, we're having church here. Like, what are you doing? Like, everybody's standing. What are you doing? She said, I have to get both hips and both knees completely replaced. I said, you believe the Lord can heal you? I do. We prayed. I said, did he do it? She said, I don't know. Back up. Let me see. She stood up off the front pew and went, he did it. She walked out of that church, never had to have surgery, never had to have anything. Prayed for a woman in Groveport, Ohio. Just came up, y'all. I wish I had to throw down and spit on her and slap her and do all this. I didn't. She said, I have to go for a screening tomorrow. They say I have cancer. I said, okay, you believe the Lord can heal you? Absolutely. Let's pray. We begin to pray. Didn't have this big old, you know, epiphany. Didn't feel I saw the tumor. Just, you know, I just prayed, believed God. Didn't even hear nothing from her. Got to camp meeting. Walked in the after church. We're going back there to eat. She walked up to me and said, hey, I just wanted to tell you. I went Monday morning to that screening. There's nothing there. Do y'all believe God can heal somebody of cancer? Because I do, because it just happened. There's power in being persuaded. In your mind today, when we come up here to the front as a family, I want you to be persuaded that whatever I ask God to do, He's going to do it. I'm not asking you to have just this amazing amount of faith that it's going to happen. When Ezekiel was brought to the Valley of Dry Bones, God said, can these dry bones live? Ezekiel, he gave the greatest answer in the world. Thou knowest. He said, don't give me the line. I don't know. That sounds like a mighty great prophet, doesn't it? I don't know. Thou knowest. He should have said, get up, bones. But he didn't. Because God will bring you to the edge of your faith and then show you your miracle just on the other side and say, can you grab that? And you go, thou knowest. He says, perfect, I'll meet the deficit. I don't know if I have the faith God can heal me. I don't think I have enough faith. I don't think if I walk to the front, I don't have faith God can heal me. Perfect. But you're persuaded that whether the signs point to the miracle, as Abraham was fully persuaded that what God said he was going to do, he was going to do. Ask and ye shall receive. When you come up here today, in just a moment, we don't have to have Batman music going. We don't have to have everybody, you know, the choir jumping and screaming. We need people that are persuaded. You don't need faith. You do need faith, but you don't need great faith. The grain of a mustard seed. Everybody loves to put the picture up there of the little mustard seed. Look how small that mustard seed is. Look how small your faith needs to be. And everybody's like, yeah. The Bible says the grain of a, if you took that seed and grained it down and sprinkled the dust, the grain of a mustard seed, that's all the faith you need. So think about how small a mustard seed is. Grind it up and then look at the powder. That's all you need. It's not about just the faith. It's about the persuasion. You're convinced. I know it. God's going to do it. There's just no other way about it. I'm not leaving different. I'm not leaving this way. I'm going to leave this building different. This is it. After today, I'm done. This is it. And when you get that attitude, I'm telling you, God does some stuff. So if you'd stand with me today, Could the ministry team come up and help pray, Pastor? You all right with that? Just line up here across the front, ministry team. If y'all were good enough to pray for me before service, y'all can come help me pray now. Now, here's what we're going to do, y'all. Again, I just put a mint in my mouth, so if I pray for you, I don't want to kill you, bad breath. Here's what we're going to do. I don't want anybody to be embarrassed, but like I said, it's hard for God to touch you if you don't make the move. Because He's a gentleman. All the devil wants you to do is to make you feel that uncomfortable feeling you're feeling right now. I can just wait till next week. I can just wait till he's not here. I can just get my miracle at home. That's fine. You can. But what if? Why wait until tomorrow when God can touch you right now? We're not promised tomorrow. All the devil wants to do is to take that uncomfortable feeling in your mind and start chirping in your ear. You're feeling that way because you're just not persuaded. When you walk up there, God's not going to do it because you're not persuaded. You're not convinced. It's not going to happen. You're going to be the faith killer. If you go up there and you're not healed, that's it. It's over. When that man came up with that partially deaf ear, no joke, y'all. We prayed for everybody. There were 16 people healed. To God be the glory. One first-time Holy Ghost. To God be the glory. But I just felt I said, does anybody else want to be prayed for? Now that you've seen the miracles happen, would you like, he came up all by himself. Church was dead quiet. You could hear a rat licking ice at the back of the church. That little feller came up, stood right at the edge of the platform and went, I'm hard of hearing. I'm thinking, okay, God, you're going to put yourself on the spot. This guy couldn't have had like a hangnail or just a little headache. I got a migraine. Oh, bless God. You know, no. He's going to come up with he can't hear. I thought to myself, yeah, here we go. And right before we prayed, I'm telling you, the enemy. So what are you going to do if God doesn't heal him? You're going to be embarrassed. I just ignored him. We prayed, and I'm telling... Man, it's like there's not a seashell on my ear anymore. Take that, devil. When you put God on the spot, he's normally pretty good about showing up. Does everybody believe that? I know we're not screaming and jumping, y'all, but you don't have to have that. For God to flow, it don't have to be mystical, folks. This is real life. None of us are going to walk out of here floating today. If we do, please let me take a video. We're just normal people that serve an abnormal God. He is all powerful. All right? So, with all that being said, if you raised your hand today, would you make your way down to the front together as a family? Let's clap together as a family as they come, y'all. We're still coming. Just in case anybody had any doubts, I want y'all to turn around and look how many people aren't up here. Okay. You see? You're not the only one. That's what we come to church for. Here's what we're going to do. Miracles, signs, and wonders have nothing to do with repentance and salvation. You can go to hell completely healed. You can go to heaven blind, crippled, and crazy. Hello? I'm sorry with all the stories, but stories like this help me. There was a man that my dad prayed for. He came to church in the world. Had a massive tumor. Dad prayed for him. The tumor dried up immediately. He was living right, you know, honky-tonking for God. He got out of church and started living in the world. That tumor started growing. And he was an older man. He made his way back to church. Dad was there again. Dad saw him. He said, hey, you remember when God healed you last time? Yeah. He said, man, well, let's pray. And the guy stopped him and said, Brother Smith, this right here is the only thing keeping me living for God. And if I can die with it and make heaven, I'd rather that than be healed and go to hell. Now, that does not mean that you're sick in your body, perfect to have an excuse to not get prayed for today. No. It's not God's will for us to be sick. He doesn't want you sick. He doesn't want you hurting. Is everybody all right with that? Here's what we're going to do. We're going to repent together as a family. Why? Because Jesus don't want to live in a dirty house, because I know I don't want to live in a dirty house. Okay? I can't repent for you, but I can repent with you. All right? Let's repent together as a family. Say, Lord, forgive me. I'm sorry, Jesus, for everything that I've thought, that I've said, that I've done, and that I've heard. I'm sorry, Jesus. Forgive me, Lord, of everything. Thank you, Jesus, for forgiving me. Thank you, Jesus, for my healing, for my miracle, for my deliverance. I love you, Jesus. Now, you see that feeling right there? When you create a void in your soul, when you get all that out, God's forgiven you. You meant it with your heart. God's forgiven you. When you create a space in you for God to fill, brother, He gets amped up to fill it. He gets right on the banister of heaven just waiting for you to say something. When He created you with a little space for Him, and He just wants you to choose. Do you want me? 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 People get hooked on drugs and alcohol and things of this world because they're trying to fill a void that God put there for Him. They're never satisfied. I just need more. I need more. I need more. I need more drugs. I need more alcohol. I need more this. I need more that. I need, because it's a void that nothing can fill but Jesus. Today, Jesus is going to fill that void. Now, all I want you to do, we're going to turn our hands up just like this, and you're going to tell Him. You're going to say, I loose. It's whatever sickness, whatever disease, whatever pain, whatever you're dealing with, you tell Him, and you say, I loose, and you say the disease. Now, everybody's going to do it together. Ain't nobody listening. You ready? Let's do it together. Say, I loose. Now, tell Him whatever you need. I'm going to keep talking. You just tell Him. Don't worry about what everybody's saying. Tell Him what you need. If you want the Holy Ghost, say, Lord, I want the Holy Ghost. If you need a healing, Lord, I loose this sickness from my body. I loose this pain from my body. I loose this disease from my body. There you go. We're all together. There you go. That's good. Beautiful. 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 Now tell Him, say, I bind it in the outer darkness. There you go. That's it. Now all I want you to do is start thanking Him for it. So thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just keep saying it. Thank you, Jesus. Now here it comes. Ministry team, find somebody to lay your hands on. The power of the Lord is fixing to hit this auditorium like it never has before. Every pain, every sickness, every disease, every need, everything Jesus can do in just a moment. Here it comes. Right now. Lord, right now, by the authority and the Word of God and by the power of the name Jesus, receive your miracle. Receive your healing. Receive the gift of the Holy Ghost right now. Now, there you go, that's it, right there. Y'all just keep praying. I'm going to come down here and pray with you. Just keep talking to Him.